The role of the grid as the backbone for Europe's energy system cannot be overemphasized. And to reach net zero targets, we need to invest significantly into expanding our grid to 152 million kilometers by 2050. To learn more about how to focus these investments and identify the most urgent actions required to achieve the grid modernization and resilience needed, I had the opportunity to sit down with Frédéric Doyer, Senior Vice President, Hub Europe at Siemens Energy, and Luca Marchisio, Head of System Strategy at Toner. They provide insights into how Europe is tracking on its grid modernization journey and highlight where more work is needed. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast.
So we're talking about quite an important topic, actually, building a grid backbone for a net zero Europe. That's quite a mouthful. But I think before we dive in, tell us about who are you representing, Siemens Energy and Toner. And I love the fact that we have you both on the stage at the same time. Frédéric, let's start with you.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for having me and a pleasure to be here. Siemens Energy is actually an energy technology provider that is active in a lot of countries around the world, a global company with around 100,000 people. And we are more or less active around the entire energy value chain. So from generation, be it wind power, gas power, up to transmission, but also then now getting involved into hydrogen and then also storage, CCUS, all you can name. Around 1/6 of the total energy generation across the globe is somehow related to our product. So that's I'm very happy to be here and very happy to be with our customer here as well.
Yes, please. You can tell us about yourself as well.
Yes, thank you. So I joined Terna 9 years ago. I'm a mechanical engineer. I've been working all my life in the energy sector, and I'm very happy about that because it keeps changing and changing every day, so it's never boring. It never gets boring. Terna is the Italian transmission system operator. Terna is a public company, so we are the largest private transmission operator in Europe. As you all know, each country more or less has only one TSO apart from Germany in Europe. So 70% of our shares are public, so we are a public company. So we put together the best of the two worlds, I think.
You know, when we were preparing for this talk, you mentioned a stat, Frédéric. So to meet net zero, the world's power grid must expand to 152 million kilometers by 2050, which is doubling the grid's length. That's further than the distance between the Earth and the Sun. Right, gentlemen, how are we tracking?
So it's you mentioned it already when you introduced us to stage that this is maybe the most important topic when we talk about the energy transition. And it's mainly, I give you two reasons why that is the case, because the existing energy grid that we have in Europe is quite outdated. It needs a lot of investments to modernize it. And at the same point in time, the requirements that we have on the grid today is much more different than the one we had like 40 years ago when most of the grid was actually built. Because today we have the good thing that we have a lot of renewables that are contributing to the energy mix in Europe, but that has puts a big effort on the grid as well, and the requirements that we need on the grid are getting way more difficult than they were a couple of years ago. So those two elements alone are the ones that drive a lot of investment into grid technologies at the moment.
Indeed, a lot of pressure to change. Luca, would you like to weigh in?
Yes, let's start from the positive things. Let's think that the European electric system, interconnected and synchronous electric system, is the most amazing machine ever built by the human being. And this is true, honestly. It's almost incredible to think about it. All the turbines in Europe are rotating at the same speed and with the same angle, supplying 300 million people each second by second. And this is something that we have accomplished with a 50 years effort. We are in a good conditions. It's a good starting point if compared with all the many other countries in the world. Second point, in 2023, 70% of electrical generation of our country has been zero emission. 70%. First source nuclear, second wind, third hydro. Then we have coal, gas, and in the end, solar. Coal and gas account today for 30% of our electricity production. From an engineering point of view, we can say that the decarbonization of the electricity sector is already accomplished. It's done. In 10 years from now, it's done. Okay. The big issue is decarbonizing all the rest, transportation, heating and cooling. Nothing is happening on that side. This is the challenge that we have. So the technical challenge that you said is absolutely a challenge, but it's totally accomplishable. The big problem is decarbonizing hundreds of millions of cars and gas boilers.
And if I may add another challenge to that one, because now also the energy or the thinking about the energy transition in Europe changed a bit after the war in Ukraine started, because then until then we had talked a lot about sustainability, and that was the talk of the town. Now the element of security and also affordability comes into the place as well. So I think one thing when we look to Eastern Europe, also the Baltic states, we see the dependency on Russia was very big. So they have now a need to get connected to more the European grid, also to ensure the energy security there. And then the other thing what we see as well is we have a lot of different prices even in Europe when we look at how much energy costs. I mean, we all see that when we look at our bills at home, and even for the industry, it's getting very, very challenging as well. And I think there also we need to balance that very well, because each country has a little different characteristic of how their energy mix looks like. And if we balance that a bit better with a more connected, interconnected grid, that might also help. Because if you look at the energy prices in Europe compared to the US, we have double the energy price at the moment than what we pay in the US. And it's a competitive disadvantage for the industry here.
You talk about a connected grid or an interconnected grid. So that's obviously one of the key elements we need to focus on. But I mean, we're in a situation, energy security is so critical. I mean, if you think about geopolitics and the world we're living in now, energy is really a hot topic. We also think about the fact that we're decarbonizing. You know, you mentioned industrial decarbonization, which is a monster on its own. So we're balancing all of these variables, right, gentlemen. So here's the key question. How do we do it? How do we actually create this resilient backbone across Europe? You know, is it a case of, and how do we maximize our investments? Luca, let's start with you.
Yes, I'd put it this way. So if we talk about the utility scale problem and not the retail problem, as I said before, now we're talking about the utility scale problem. We need three resources. We need grids, high voltage, low voltage, medium voltage grids. We need renewables, generation sources, and we need storage. All these three assets have the same characteristics. They're CapEx intensive, capital intensive. Okay, so now we are changing the economy of Europe today, of the energy sector in Europe. Today, the energy sector acts like that. We buy something and we burn it in our chimney. So we take money and burn them actually in the chimney. In the future, we do not burn anymore anything because the cost of energy will be zero. But we need huge capital investments. So it's a complete shift of our mindset. We need capital, we need money, and we need this money to be cheap. So the market design that we have today in Europe, in our opinion, and also together with our, at least in Italy, with our regulator and our government, we are convinced that we need something else. And we need long-term contracts. We need long-term negotiations so that the investors are certain that the money put on the investment will come back with the right return on the investment. So you can borrow money from not only from the utilities, but also from the fund, from investment funds, from pension funds, who are willing to borrow, to give you money, accepting a lower interest rate if you reduce the risk. And this is fundamental. We need to keep inflation low, and we need to borrow cheap money. And so we need to reduce or eliminate as much as possible merchant risk, price risk, volume risk for the investors. Otherwise, they will not invest.
And underlining what Luca just said, if you read the Draghi report, which came out a couple of weeks ago, and I think it highlights that very well, that billions of investments are needed to be competitive, to have a competitive energy system in Europe. Also in other sectors, but energy in particular was mentioned in that report, and I think it's a very fair point. And then, I mean, the other thing you mentioned, Luca, which is very important when we also talk to a lot of our customers, is this investment security needs to be there. Nobody will invest in something where they are not sure if the circumstances change again in 2-3 years from now. Yeah? So this is something that we need, best case also across countries on a European Union level, and not only on a country by country level, because a lot of those things get more and more interconnected between countries as well.
Yes, and just to complete the reasoning, so that's why in Italy we launched the Maxi Auctions, which is a specific mechanism by which we provide the investors who are willing to build new storage systems with a 15-year contracts or maybe even 30-year contracts if you build hydro pump storage, and you receive the monthly installment if your storage system is available. Today, we have 250 gigawatts of connection requests of new storage assets to our grid, which is ridiculous.
That's incredible. I feel like that's another discussion topic on its own. Final question, gentlemen. So if you could highlight one point or one thing that we need to ensure a resilient grid backbone, what would it be? Frederick?
And I would say solid investment criteria and also backed by the governments then.
Luca?
The first objective is designing the grid of the future in an efficient, economically efficient way. And on the other hand, we need to speed up the authorization process at European level, because on average, our new investments take 12 years to be completed. 10 of them are for the authorization process and 2 for construction.
Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your insights. For now, that's all from us. Thank you, gentlemen. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.